Good. Okay, great. Thank you. I'm Zemed. You know, Pastor Brent does much better understanding and presentation of my testimony of my life. So he has been so great in different meetings talking about my life, which I think is a miraculous life. So I live on miracles. You know, like he said, finding that paper in a trash can, sitting waiting at somebody's office, and getting into Ivy League schools and so on. today's topic is put up there, and I will start with that. While we are thinking about that, I want to just quote a verse from Zechariah, which says, Zechariah 4:6, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." It's the Spirit of God that leads people in the right way. You know, revival, when you talk about revival, think about the Spirit of God. Only God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, begets revival. Now, just a little bit extra about my life, just before I get into the main line here. Born in rural Ethiopia, died when I was 4. Born, died, done, you know, it's gone. Huh? So, but God miraculously brought me back at the end of the night, and I got all that scholarship and so on and so on. But now I understand why God brought me back, and that's for the mission. Pastor Brent mentioned about the water mission in rural Ethiopia. I was dead because of a waterborne disease, and I lost 2 brothers. Abraham was 2.5 years old when he died, my brother, and my dear other brother died at 12. So this water kills a lot of kids. So now, you know, I retired from my job, I think early, I'm healthy, I could have work, but I wanted to do that full-time mission with our 501(c) Tetzvah International that you support. Thank you very much. And, you know, we've done a good job in terms of providing clean water, and at each well we put an evangelist who would be supported for 2 years to church plant in communities of 80 to 94% Muslim. And it's just an amazing mission. And that, I think that's the purpose why I was back, you know, after I was dead, that now I understand. In 2005, we were able to team with World Vision, who does rural development across many countries. There is a World Vision in Ethiopia, and they will double our effort with matching funds to give more water. And so we're working on that. Well, then now we made the devil mad. Me and my family all together and the team working on this made really the devil mad, and he threw some mud into my life in terms of health, and we are battling with that with the help of your prayers. The church knows that. You've been praying both for me and my wife, and I appreciate that. I just want to say that. Without your prayers, we couldn't have made it. So now, the things are still, we are still in medication, in terms of taking medications, and doing well. Praise God. So that's how much I want to say on that. You know, all I know is, you know, when the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Psalm 23, verse 1. And, of course, you know, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my Lord, in whom I trust. And truly, that's what we need to trust. You know, trusting the doctors. Yes, doctors can give you medicine, can operate on you, but the healer is only one. His name is Jesus. And so we all depend on that as Christians. That's what we need to depend on. Today, this topic, I was praying about what to bring to this church. This church is my church, my family's church. I was baptized here, right in there, 29 years ago with my wife. And there's a little long story. We were saved about 3-4 years before that, probably 4 years before that in Ohio, and we moved down here. Nobody asked about baptism. Talk about the, you know, churches, some churches being negligent about what they need to do. But we came from the background of Coptic church, which we were baptized when we were children. So somebody in the Sunday school asked me, are you baptized? I said, yes. I didn't understand. And said, okay, they are baptized. So they left. We came to Virginia. We went to Kempsville Baptist the 1 year before we came here. And nobody, we joined the Sunday school, we're going every week, everything. You know, nobody asked us about whether we were saved or, you know, or baptized, anything like that. Nothing for the entire year. And they probably assumed. I mean, they don't, I'm sure Kempsville Baptist is a good church. You know, it's a very big church and so on. So, but the thing is, this is a church that actually completed, you know, in a way, completed the process for us. So when we talk about church, I was looking up, you know, what to talk, and I find this, the church that you all know in this country, church attendance going down, a lot of churches getting in a lot of issues. You know, we need church growth. Like the last 3 years, this church has been growing since Pastor Brent and his family have been here. And, you know, and the one thing he embarked on, which I appreciate, is prayers. And prayer works. We need spiritual revival in this country. Anybody agree with that? We need a spiritual revival in this country. We need the Holy Spirit to work in our lives, in our church's lives. Nearly 3,800 churches close their doors every year. That's a lot of churches, you know? A lot of churches. And the Holy Spirit has left those places. And therefore, no power, no, you know, no spiritual function to be done in those churches. So the churches will be closing their doors. And unfortunately, I don't want to bore you with statistics, but in those churches, two characteristics that one can observe. Church membership, of course, goes down. The second one was the commitment of the existing members down. People who used to go to church every week now are going every month. A lot of people. Just having church casual. One more liner I can give you on the statistics. Mainline Christian share of population was 30% in 1972. Today is only 15%. We need awakening. We need revival in a church. Amen to that? We need revival. We need to have, you know, heaven open up and revive the churches. But to do that, people have to submit to that. You know, that verse in Chronicle comes to mind. The second Chronicle comes to mind. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Amen? And forgive their sin and heal their land. We need that today in this country. This land needs to be healed also. In this country, Pastor Brent just mentioned, conference on Thursday that he's planning, we need healing in many ways. Interesting thing is there are growing churches also. And you look at that, why are the churches growing? There are growing churches, and they embrace the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit filled practices and engagement, which helps keep people committed to their faith. Not stay casual about their faith. They love what they have, and want to share this opportunity, the movement of the Spirit in their lives. They want to share that. They keep planting Spirit-filled churches. They propagate. Those churches who are basically out of business, they close their doors. They are not doing any propagations. One of the statistics that I read, Church of Christ is in need of revival, in need of the work of the Holy Spirit for revival. Without the Holy Spirit, there's not going to be revival. It can't happen. No revival can happen. So that's why this word today, that I have this on the board, on the screen for you, just an outliner, an outline. Now, there are good reasons revealed. Now, so let's read the verses on that. I want to read that with you. John 16. Verses 7 through 14. In honor of God's word, we can stand up and read together. I'll read, and you can also read just with your Bible. All right? Now, John 16, verses 7. Jesus talking. But I tell you the truth. It is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin, righteousness, and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no more, no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Praise be to the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this word. Father, let this word speak to every heart in this hall. Holy Spirit, you will be dividing the words to each person according to needs. I ask that you do that, Lord. Speak to each person according to their needs. I know you are able to do, to touch every heart, many times in different ways. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Now, these verses, I'll go over it quickly because Pastor Brent told me the time is pretty short. Now, I want to speak about, there are good reasons revealed in these verses. Number one, the Holy Spirit shall reveal the truth of God. We need the Holy Spirit for number one reason. Here is not necessarily in order of importance. One reason is that he, the Holy Spirit, is the only one. He is God who can reveal the truth the way it ought to be revealed. You know, that's one reason why we need the Holy Spirit. Verse 7. Now, the disciples, feeling unhappy about his departure, they didn't know what was good for them. Jesus is telling them, this is good for you. You know sometimes how we don't know what's good for us? But God knows what's good for us. Can we just trust God that he will lead us to what is good for us? In this case, his disciples, all they know, they're frowning that he's going. Jesus is telling them, it's good for you. The Lord Jesus again said to them, but I tell you the truth. The truth we see here, a couple of truths we can see here. One, A, it is good for us that he went to his Father. And one thing I can see is that Jesus going and sitting at his power seat, interceding for me and for you, for everyone, on the right-hand side of his Father, where he ought to be, after he has done his job. In the Word of God said, he is seated. That means he's done, finished. And we wanted to go and sit on his power seat, where he would say, in this case, you know, whatever comes to me for Zemed, he would look and say, hey, I paid for this one too. You know, I don't know, he's doing many times during the day. You know, not only once a day. Hallelujah. So he is to go. And he said, I'm going to send you. He said, the Holy Spirit will come and will convict this world. In this case, you know, the B, A was that it's good for us for him to go. And the Spirit convicts us, we repent, and then Jesus will, you know, get us a pass again, because he already paid for it. B is that our counsel, the Holy Spirit, can come. He's telling them, unless I go, the counselor will not be here. And you need counselor. You need the counselor to even understand the truth the way it ought to be understood. So it's better for you that I go. He's telling them. And the third person of the Trinity will be here to lead you through this world. Otherwise, he won't come. Jesus also knows the best for us, for you and I, for his church. Jesus said it. It is done. You know, when Jesus said, it's good for you, he knows what is best for us, what is good for us. You know, when Jesus speaks, when Jesus says it's done, it's done. When Jesus spoke, he is already done. He will be going, and he went, you know. So there's no point of frowning to get my way. If the Word of God said it, there's no point for me frowning about that. He spoke it. And I have to have the faith to follow that. Hallelujah. That was the will of the Father, for Jesus to go after he's done what he has done. Many times we forget that if Christ said what is good for us, that it is good for us. How about faith? Huh? Do we have faith in what he says? There are times when we don't comprehend the truth of God and what he meant. We often tend to depend on our thinking. Churches need to know the truth of God. But believers also need to know. Now, believers make up the church. You know, now the believers need to submit to the Holy Spirit. We have to make a decision to submit to the Holy Spirit, to submit to his ways, to submit to him to say, okay, counsel me, lead me, I will follow. That's what really we're supposed to say. Today is the day to submit your ways to that of the Holy Spirit ways, which is the third person of Trinity. Jesus' presence here on earth is limited by geographic. But the Holy Spirit being here since then has glorified Jesus on all over the world. So Holy Spirit came finally to just say, mention that he came to glorify Jesus. Holy Spirit is not doing what Jesus would not do. or speak what Jesus would not speak. He's here to glorify the Lord Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does, magnify and glorify Jesus Christ. The truth of God is Jesus is the Lord. Amen to that? The second one here, I think, I don't know if I have that. The second part of my outline here, today I believe even churches are being, this is about reproval, okay? The Holy Spirit shall reprove or convict the world of its sin. Today, even churches are being, you know, they look like they're being reproved. They close their doors, as I mentioned earlier. When the counselor comes, he will reprove. The Greek word, elgecha, reprove, to convince, to convict, or expose, to bring to shame one who stays in sin, or rebuke. All to our good, to bring us back to God. To reprove, convict shall be because of unbelief. Because of unbelief, not believing Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. This is a reproof. Doubters are included in here. Christ's work on the cross made salvation available to us all. That's Christ's work on the cross. Those who hear the word of God and reject the Son are immediately condemned. The devil is condemned forever. The second one was the reproof is about righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. We have no righteousness apart from Lord Jesus. You and I need the Holy Spirit to continuously counsel us to believe and live the way of the way of Christ through submission. And the third one, reproof, is for judgment. The world will be judged, finally be judged. The devil is judged. But the good news, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And that's you and I. Hallelujah. Christ Jesus is the one who will save us from this. And that needs to be explained to us by the Holy Spirit, shown to us. But dying churches are feeling the absence of the power of the Holy Spirit because of the absence of the Holy Spirit in those churches. Now, going quickly, the third one, I've got four of them. The third one is the Holy Spirit shall guide man's life if submitted. If the man submitted, the Holy Spirit is willing to guide. The guide. The Holy Spirit is sometimes called guide. He's the one to take us around this world. We are to follow. We are to submit, to follow the Holy Spirit. He's the only one we have here. Jesus is not here. We have the third person of the Trinity here, living in us, to guide us, to counsel us in a good way. Can we submit to his guidance, to his leadership? There is no other foundation we are laying other than which is already laid by Jesus Christ our Lord. All we have to do is submit and follow the will of Jesus Christ, which is to be taught and explained by the Holy Spirit. There's nothing to do rather than that. But do we understand what our life is in this world? We don't without the Holy Spirit. There's no way. You know, you do not, it's more than you can bear, what Jesus said. There's a little thing that we comprehend. But we need the Holy Spirit to explain to us at any time anything about the way of God. Verse 12, Lord Jesus said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. Jesus left the details to be led by the Holy Spirit. The details are explained to us by the Holy Spirit. Jesus went to his Father. We need the Holy Spirit. Now, there is a Greek word, parakletos. Maybe Pastor Brent can help me on that. The helper, the comforter. First John calls it advocate. These are great words. He is a comforter. He is a counselor. He is an advocate. And that's the Holy Spirit. Brothers and sisters, there is no way we can ignore the Holy Spirit and his gifts and be spiritually alive. Like those churches, we will be spiritually dead without the Holy Spirit. There is not a way we can de-emphasize our earthly counselor and live righteous life here on earth or do ministry of any sort. Impossible. Anything about God has to be led by the Holy Spirit on this earth. The Holy Spirit is here to stay. All through thin and thick, he will be here. Even through tribulation, he will be with us. Unless we reject him and we grieve him and he left us. There is not a way we can do that. We can ignore him. Believers' number one duty is to submit to the Holy Spirit of God and get to know Lord Jesus a lot more, a lot better. Serve the Lord in expanding his kingdom and live for Christ. We will be able to do that only through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Of course, Christ is our Paracletos in heaven with our Father. Christ is our helper, advocate, and in heaven. Praise God. Christ is there. He has made the way for us. I want to make this point again. One, that everything the Holy Spirit does is to honor and glorify Lord Jesus. Verse 13. He will not speak of his own, and he will speak only what he hears, Jesus said. Everything the church does should glorify Jesus Christ. Everything a believer does should glorify the Holy Spirit. How can we be sure we're doing that? Only if we submit to the way, to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. We don't have that big comprehension like that. But through submission, you know what? We learned that from Jesus. Through submission, he was able to conquer the devil, the grave, and that everything, the sin. He has risen, he rose from the grave. Through submission. He didn't have guns, he didn't have battle to fight. I mean, he didn't have battle equipment to fight. His way is submission. He submits to the Lord and he is empowered. If you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was bleeding and he was in agony, you know, Father sent him an encourager. And he got that strength to carry the cross. Now, so our job is to submit to the Holy Spirit. And finally, the fourth one, and is the Holy Spirit shall explain to us about the future. Now, Jesus said in verse 13b, if you look at that, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. And he said, and he will tell you what is yet to come. And he, the Holy Spirit, can tell that. One major future for Christians is accomplishing the work of the Great Commission. That's what we are in Matthew 28. We are told that. The Great Commission is our job. How do we think we can do this unsurmountable work? By the Lord Jesus, that's given us by Lord Jesus. On the other hand, Jesus in John 14:12, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believes on me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." He that believes, he has no limitation. He can do what Jesus did and plus. Church, wake up, is what we need to say. You have a way. Believers, wake up. You have a way. And that is through submission to the Holy Spirit and getting the power of the Holy Spirit work. You can do all that Jesus did and plus. If we submit to the Holy Spirit, our God, it can be done. If we are led by the prayer or the Spirit-filled prayer, we'll get the answers. The Greek word, the last one I have here, ergon, greater deeds, acts, referring to the miracles of healing, signs and wonders, and great and mighty deeds of power, like the pool of Bethesda, Peter's shadow healing people, Paul's handkerchief healing the sick, prophecies respected, and people expecting God. People expecting God. How many believers really expect God with no unbelief that God would do what he says? That's a big question. God would do what he says. He would do. Believers need to believe that if led by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will also lead us through what is to come, like things like mission work, or even persecutions for doing God's work. How many years you can stay in Iran jail if we went that way? You know, Holy Spirit will explain everything. So we understand no one can do God's work on his own. No one. There is no revival without the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John 14 that the Comforter will abide with you forever, i.e., not until set time, forever. The Holy Spirit is our permanent helper. Do you know him? Do you follow him? Do you appreciate his lead? The church needs to stop giving lip service to the Holy Spirit of God. Doing so is grieving the Holy Spirit. How do we grieve the Holy Spirit? One, may resist the Holy Spirit. If you resist the Holy Spirit, Acts 6:9, a stiff-neckedness in the church is grieving the Holy Spirit. Doubt. Number two, the church can quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19-29. Do not put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. Expect and believe God would do what he said would do. Number three, the Holy Spirit can be lied to by believers. Well, Ananias and Sapphira, they sold the house, They kept up with it. They said, this is the whole thing. I mean, yeah. And then Peter said, what is it that you lied to the Holy Spirit? God was gone. You know? And then the wife came, same thing. And that's grieving the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can be insulted. Hebrews 10:29. Rejecting Jesus upon hearing the gospel is insulting the Holy Spirit. That's one, just one of them, one of the insults. And finally, Holy Spirit can't be obeyed instead of all this. Peter, when God told Peter, Jesus actually told Peter to go with the three men sent from Cornelius, Peter obeyed. He went with the Gentiles that just showed at his house door, trusting God. And he went in there and they were ready, okay? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit's power was there. The moment he opened his mouth, this house was full. I can tell you that family is ready for mission. They have the Holy Spirit. They have that power. Wow. That can happen. Finally, just a few words I want to say. And in two minutes, I'll be done, a couple of minutes. Today, in our churches, we need the Holy Spirit to move. The Holy Spirit, the work of the Holy Spirit, the signs and wonders, miracles, kindling revival. Today, the church, Christian church, needs to submit to the works of the Holy Spirit. Believers need to submit their life to the Holy Spirit leading. Today, we need to respect the signs and wonders by the Holy Spirit. Whoever told the church that it can ignore the Holy Spirit, what a lie. However, there are others who told believers that we can, you know, look at everything doubtfully, suspiciously. That is grieving the Holy Spirit. Can we rely on the great counselor that is sent for us to help us discern, sort it out, and accept that which is of God? Of course we must. The third member of the Trinity here to help us in our life. But we don't have to worry about. Submission is freedom. Freedom. You submit, you don't have to worry about this higher power, the Holy Spirit, keeping you right. Proverbs 3:7 says, do not be wise in your own eyes. It's an understatement in today's world. And finally, Matthew 17:20, when the disciples wanted to cast out a demon from a boy, a little boy, and they couldn't. Finally, they took the boy to Jesus, and Jesus cast the demon out. And then they were just wondering and say, Master, why couldn't we cast this demon out? You know, you all know what the answer Jesus gave to the disciples. Because of what? Unbelief. Because of your unbelief. That was the thing. Now, of course, at that time, it was Jesus who was with them. And they still have a lot of problems, as you know. You know, Thomas being saved even after Jesus is risen and all those. So, the thing is, in Acts 1:8, you know, we were told that the Holy Spirit will be sent for us. And in the Pentecostal day, the Holy Spirit came, and Holy Spirit lives in every Christian. And what we need to do is simply follow the Holy Spirit. Thank you.